Okay, that was a little bit of Cajun dance favorites. And which dance favorite was that? I guess we just played track number 8. That was T.U. Noir, the Jambalaya Cajun Band. Cajun, boy, I'm getting my accents mixed up here. My name is Don J. Cormier. I'm the host of the program Free and Clear. And this is Free and Clear. We're going to be on for another hour. We hope to have some conversation that's free and clear, but not constrained and murky. We want to spread information that will get you going in the morning. And I am asking our listeners, sadly, please hold your calls because...
Well, no, we can get the calls
We can get one, yeah.
We'll relay it
to the guest, which is not the most efficient way of doing things, but we'll do it that way.
Yeah, we'll try to relay
properly. Yes. Right. Well, our guest is Mr. Larry Ames. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to our studio. And you're doing fine. You know, you're close enough to the microphone, I think,
okay.
Now. And, well, you know, it's before we get into talking about your thing, one thing that was interesting is that I went to school with someone with your same name, and I was really wondering in the back of my mind, could it possibly be the same person, the same Larry Ames? But you're not.
No. Nope.
I've never seen you before this morning in my life, so. Anyway.
Went to school out of state, so.
Oh, what state?
Virginia for undergraduate, for high school,
uh-huh.
Arizona.
Wow. I went to Fremont High School here in Sunnyvale, and I've never been actually in either Arizona or Virginia. So
it's not me then.
What did you say?
So it's not me you've seen.
It's not, no, definitely was not. Definitely was not.
They hung up?
Okay, the people hung up. Okay.
I don't know. Or at least when I disconnected it, maybe when I answered it, but it...
Well,
Larry, we wanted to bring you here because we want to talk about the... You've been involved in the creek trails for the... that encompass
creeks
San
and
Jose...
Creeks and trails and parks and bicycling.
And Campbell and other...
And I was wondering if you chose the day because tomorrow is Bike to Work Day and there's a nice tie-in to that. It's a good
yes,
way to commute
well,
to work.
Yes, well, there is that, and... But there's so many questions about that. Tell us how you became involved and how long it's been that you've been involved. And then we want to get to a little bit of the history of how this all came about.
And I thought you'd like to know a little about me, too. I'm a physicist. I work at Lockheed Martin and I've been there for 25 years. And work on everything from earthquake prediction to global warming to looking for habitable planets orbiting nearby stars.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
how fascinating.
I went to school in University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Oh, and really? That's the hotbed of the progressives?
I guess, yeah. They considered themselves, they were second to Berkeley back in the 70s when I was
they
there.
They still are.
Okay. Yeah. And... But anyhow, it's very cold there in the winter and very hot in the summer, but even so, they had bicycle lanes all over the place. They had bike lanes around the parks and a number of lakes and so forth. And then I moved to California here. I'd had enough of the cold, and so I came out here, and with the perfect climate and perfect geography, I was expecting to see bike paths all over the place.
And there were none.
And so... I started asking around to see what was happening, and they said, well, we're planning to build one, maybe one dam along the Los Gatos Creek, which is only like a couple blocks from where I live. And by the time I had my first son, I thought, well, I'm living on a busy street, and he might like to bicycle too, and it's rather dangerous to bicycle on a busy street. And so maybe if I start working with City Hall and working with the community to get the Los Gatos Creek Trail built, it might be done by the time he's riding his bicycle. Well, the trail is not quite done yet, and he's graduated and moved off and is married and living out of town, but the trail is still going, and that's basically how I got started on the thing.
I have to have a disclosure here. I've really liked the creek, and we want to talk more about its completion and what's left to be done. And it's been about 15 years or 10 years ago that I was in a meeting, and there's been a blockage right near downtown because of the railroad and so on. And I remember being at that meeting. I said, when are we going to finish it? I'm going to be dead before it's done. And these young people came over and kissed my hands. Oh, no, Yolanda, it'll be done. Just be patient.
I'm asking for wheelchair ramps now.
I'm, I still have a few years left and still not done. Tell me, what seems to be, tell us exactly the length of at least this particular creek, and then we can talk about the others as well.
The Los Gatos Creek?
The Los Gatos Creek goes to Los
It started, Los Gatos, yeah. It was started in Campbell and worked both ways out from there. About 1975 was when people started working on the trail. County Supervisor Rod Derridon organized a group of different representatives from the different cities to work together on it. Don Hebert represented Campbell, and Jim Sagai for Los Gatos, and different people from San Jose. I was the third one from San Jose, and worked with city planning along the way to extend the trail piece by piece, and Los Gatos, it's continued through there, goes through up to Lexington Dam on that end, and through San Jose it comes up to Meridian Avenue now as a continuous trail. There's a bike lane on Willow Street through Willow Glen. It doesn't go along the creek trail there, along the creek there, and then it starts up again at Lincoln Avenue, just off of Lincoln Avenue, and goes for another half mile under 280 up to San Carlos Street. And next step is to get past the train station, Derridon train station, which has high-speed rail coming into it, has the baseball stadium coming into it. There's a fire training station that is supposed to be closed out and become a park, but maybe it'll become a parking lot instead, and all these issues for the last when it's about half mile to connect to the Guadalupe, which is where it was supposed to go.
Gee, that really seems that that's going to be a real problem, because it's supposed to follow the creek, and if and this is something that I think our listeners might be really quite interested in hearing, and that is that, at least from something I understood, was that right in that area, the creek trail will be on a city street.
Well, it has to for a little ways, because the creek itself is in a pipe underneath the intersection of Bird and Park Avenue there. So for about a quarter mile, it has no choice.
How come that happened in that place? Because I would have thought, well, of course, now there's going to be high-speed rail, BART, there's Caltrain there already, and then the stadium, which will supposedly accommodate 45,000 people.
And hopefully they'll build the trail to provide access from the community to there. It would make a great way to get there without having to drive on the road and park in the parking lots.
So what's with the rail lines? I mean, I just don't understand how... I'm really confused. I don't understand how they can accommodate the trail and all those other things there. Or will the trail go into a tunnel like the water, like the creek does?
No, I think the plans call for the trains to be above grade at that point. And so it'll be a elevated train, and the trail will just go underneath.
Is that what they're still talking? Because they, San Jose is going to have it above grade, and they're going to put it underground in Palo Alto and Atherton because they're wealthy.
I was noticing San Francisco looks so much nicer now that they tore down the Embarcadero Freeway there, and now we're talking about putting in a elevated structure. There are other groups that are people are talking about maybe putting it underground through San Jose too. I was talking to our state assembly member last week about it. He was saying, "Yeah, build it underground and build a park on top of it." I love the idea of that.
That sounds a great idea.
There's a lot
sounds
of
very expensive.
Yeah, that's
well, but the whole thing is expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that train, the high-speed rail is worth billions of dollars.
There are different alignments. Right now, it's just a line on a paper, and they're asking the community to come by with different lines on a paper, and they will spend the next number of months or years evaluating different lines to see which one gives the best alignment. And money is one of the issues, maintainability, viability, aesthetics, all the things are important.
This is a big issue we could spend all the time, but can you tell us a little bit about all the other creek trails that there are?
Yes.
Please, because I think a lot of people are not aware of them. I think the Los Gatos is the most well used.
The Los Gatos is one of the first in the area here, and it has the advantage of being right along the freeway, so people, when they're stuck in rush hour traffic, can look off to the side and daydream and wish that they were bicycling down the trail rather than being stuck in the traffic there. About 1980, they started having a regional vision of trails here. Different people got together, and it's the mental image, like, is of a wagon wheel, of having, you know, spokes. With a hub and a rim and then spokes. It's our wagon wheel's not, it's a little lopsided, but it's fits the area, right. The hub is the San Francisco Trail. And it's about 500 miles long. It's actually about two-thirds built now. You can say it starts in El Viso and goes along through, Palo Alto, up to Foster City, San Francisco, around the North Bay.
Along the bay.
Along the bay, around the bay shore, through Oakland and Fremont, and back to El Viso. And then there's the Bay Area Ridge Trail, which starts at Lexington Reservoir, follows the ridge line along Summit Road up behind up to San Francisco, crosses Golden Gate Bridge, loops around Santa Rosa and back behind hills of Oakland and down to Morgan Hill and catches back to the thing. And then the different creek trails act like spokes. So there's Los Gatos Creek Trail, there's the Guadalupe River Trail that goes from El Viso out to the ridge. There's a Coyote Creek Trail, a Penitencia Creek Trail. There's also Stevens Creek Trail and a number of other ones around the area that further north I'm not familiar with that also tie this thing together.
Is there a place where those people are interested in, especially now that flying is not such an attraction, is there a place where they can go to actually see the entire grid or whatever, you know, all these trails you're talking about?
There are a number of different websites that have information on these things.
Tell us.
Okay, like 511.com has a link to the maps in the area here.
The number is 511.
The number is 511. It's a transportation network here. And one of the links is to bike lanes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a friend that uses that all the time. I mean, if you're planning a trip using public transportation, it's just invaluable. It has all the times of all the trains, and you can figure out.
Oh, cool. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's great.
Then there's also the county parks at parkhere.org, and that gets maps of the different county parks around the area that bring the area, also including the number of the creek trails here.
So it's Park Here.
parkhere.org. A good place is the AAA road maps. They show the bike lanes on it, little dotted lines. You can plan out your routes from that.
Well, tomorrow is Bike to Work Day, and actually the Mercury News this morning on the second section, the West Valley section, has an article about it, What Silicon Valley Bike Commuters Want. And I was wondering, maybe you mentioned it before, but I didn't register with me. Do you bike to work every day?
Not every day, but about twice a week.
Uh-huh. So, well,
I biked yesterday. I'm planning to bike tomorrow. Drove today to get here.
Yes.
It's a little
early in the morning.
Especially, well, as someone that bikes to work at least twice a week, how do you view, you know, the whole thing? I mean, what do you think holds most people back from biking to work?
I guess if they haven't done it before, they just are scared or not familiar with the traffic, don't know the routes, worried about being late, I suppose, or worried about how they will look when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
I handle the traffic by having good routes that I picked out. The streets, you go on quiet residential streets, there's nice networks of them. If you go to the city, has a bike map that shows recommended routes. A lot of them are marked with bike lanes that really help, and there are also the bike paths that connect the different things together. Especially Bike to Work Day, you can talk to any one of these stations and they'll give you maps on how to find your way around and give advice on how to find good routes.
And they actually give free helmets always.
I didn't know that. Wow. Okay.
That's good to know.
And the helmets do work. I can say that.
Oh, really?
Had one accident. I mean, one bump once, but they're very good helmets. Let's see. Also, I just bicycle in a jersey, you know, a t-shirt or something like that, and rinse off when I get to work. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me a few minutes longer than if I were to drive. I mean, when I drive, it takes half an hour to an hour, depending upon the traffic. Traffic is bad on 101 in the morning, and when I bicycle, it takes me about an hour. So,
I get exercise,
but I also get a vacation. When I'm driving, I'm stuck in the traffic. I'm watching the cars in front. I have to concentrate on that. But when I'm bicycling, I'm thinking about different things. I'm enjoying the smell of the fresh cut lawns and the bacon being fried inside. You can listen to the birds. You can. See wildlife.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you. When we briefly talked, you were telling me about, I've walked all the way to Los Gatos, but I think it's a different experience on a bicycle as well. And I've seen a number of things. What's your experience as you go, for example, on...
Sorry, I was telling you about going out to a Campbell in the evening, on mm-hmm. a calm evening. You get to see the... you sense the climate in the area here. When you're in a car, you're in your little container there, and you just have your air conditioner on. You don't know what the environment is like. But when you're bicycling, you can feel the air. And I was talking to you about how the Los Gatos Creek Trail kind of dips down into the creek channel at about 10, 20 feet down, and then at certain places it comes back up to the grade and goes back down again. And on a calm evening, it can be very warm every place, and yet in the valley, that little 20 feet down, you're in cold air there, and then you come back up, you can feel the microclimates to see.
Fascinating.
It's just different.
And you've seen, tell me about the wildlife that you've been able to see over the years.
Okay, let's see there. I've seen herons up in the great herons nesting in Vasona Park. I saw a bobcat once in the city of San Jose on the Coyote Creek Trail.
I did too. When I was walking there, that's a really fun trail in the sense that you don't see freeways or anything. You really feel like you're back in San Jose in the 50s or 60s going along that trail. So if you really want to get a feeling for the fresh air and being out in the rural area, go to the Coyote Creek Trail.
So that's one of the things about these trails. You can be in the middle of the city of a million people, and yet when you're on this trail, you're just back in the countryside.
And the Coyote Creek goes,
There are a number of
creeks. It goes all the way to Morgan Hill, doesn't it?
Right, yeah. The Coyote Creek Trail is, I think, the longest one in the system, and it's about Stonegate Park, just off of Tully Road, and it goes south from there through Hellyer Park and just follows the creek and goes for like about 15, 20 miles, comes up to Anderson Dam in Morgan Hill.
Wow, I didn't realize it went that far. Do they have plans to bring it all the way down through downtown like William Street Park and through that area?
Yes. There's a county parks did a trail master plan about, I guess it's 10 years ago now, that shows this network that I was describing to you, that the Coyote Creek would go through downtown all the way up to Milpitas. Parts of it are built in different places. It's not continuous yet. And out to the bay, the Guadalupe River is built quite a ways also. It goes from Alviso to downtown San Jose now, to south of Interstate 280. And then there's another piece that starts, I should have my roadmap out with me. block north of Blossom Hill Road, and it goes south from there for quite a ways. And the Santa Clara Valley Water District is doing flood control projects in the interim, in the space in between, and they're building trails as part of that project.
Mm.
And Los Gatos Creek Trail is, like I say, within about a half mile of connecting to the Guadalupe River. Stevens Creek Trail is built from Shoreline Park at the bay and head south quite a ways. They just opened up another section just last week. There's a lot of trails that are opening up in different places too. It's amazing.
Well, you know, going back, I'm jumping around a little bit, but you're talking about this, and I keep thinking about the problem that seems to be facing the trail enthusiasts and all the plans for around the Diridon Station. What would you recommend for people who have a concern about that? To how should they get involved? Who should they talk to? What? How can they find out what's really happening? Do you have any ideas?
Okay. One way is to just contact your city officials and let them know that you're interested in it, that it's not just one or two people, that there is a lot of interest in the community. There, I know there's a lot of interest in the community, but sometimes it's nice to hear from that. There's other groups. There's a group called Save Our Trails. You can find them on Facebook. They're organizing to advocate for our trails. Different trails have different support groups. There's Friends of the Guadalupe River Parks and Gardens has is working on that one. See, I had a whole list of contacts with it.
By the way, let me interrupt and say time is 7:25. You're tuned into KKUP Cupertino. Our guest this morning is Larry Ames, and we're talking about trails. My name is Don J. Cormier. I'm the host and producer of the show, and Yolanda Reynolds, my co-host, has been asking most of the questions but doing a very good job of it. Larry, what would you like to see happen within the next year in regard to the local trail situation? Is there something coming up one way or the other that you'd like to see happen or not happen?
Well, yes, actually. Yes. Now that you ask me. So I described this big network of trails, this rim and hub and spokes, and I mentioned that it is kind of elongated because the bay is elongated. The South Bay here is quite a ways from the bay to the ridge, and it'd be nice to get another trail midway between to connect these different spokes together. Sort of like a reflector on a bicycle ties the spokes together, okay? And that would be the Three Creeks Trail, which could be built on the abandoned Willow Glen Spur Railroad right-of-way. And that would tie the Los Gatos Creek Trail to the Guadalupe River Trail to the Coyote Creek Trail.
Wow.
Right in the middle of the area here.
That would be really...
What it takes is, right now, it's the land is for sale, and the money is somewhat available, but somewhat tight, and it, I think, would take an action of City Council to try to preserve the right-of-way, not necessarily buy it right now, but act to preserve it, and then buy it as the funds come available.
Is there a movement towards that?
That Save Our Trails group is working on that.
Oh, I see. So that's who you would contact if you want to lend support to that idea.
And there is a meeting. Our council member, Pierluigi Oliverio, is having a meeting to talk about this trail next Thursday, the 21st, at the Willow Glen Senior Center at 7 p.m.
Okay, why don't you repeat that? Because it's kind of...
The Willow Glen Spur Trail at the Willow Center. I think it's no longer Senior Center. The Willow Center on Lincoln Avenue. I forgot the address, but it's near Kirtner.
Yeah.
At 7 p.m. May 21st, which is Thursday, 7 p.m.
Pierre Luigi, I think, enjoys cycling, so that's kind of good to have a council person who does cycle.
I think a number of them do, actually.
Sam LaCarter does, yes. And the mayor gets on a bicycle now and then.
Yes. I had a question about the trails. Maybe Jim can get that in the other room. Let's see. You know, on either side, how wide, really, is the trail? I mean, not in the sense of how many bicycles can you get on it, but on either side of where... The paved
part of
the gravel.
How much land does it take to make a trail?
Yeah. What about property owners on either side? How does that work? Or is it all completely on public land? But I mean, there's got to be a boundary somewhere.
There are boundaries. There are easements in some places. A lot of the trails have been built on water district property.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to partner with the Santa Clara Valley Water District on these things.
Right.
Ah.
The trail itself generally is 12 feet wide. Some places it's a little narrower than that. It's nice to have a couple feet on either side for joggers and for landscaping. A good trail corridor, I think the standard is 30 feet wide, if I remember correctly.
I see. So on the other outside that 30 feet corridor, you can have any kind of property, right? I mean, it could be private, public, whatever. Yeah, okay.
Right, the Los Gatos Creek Trail goes behind residences in the town of Los Gatos. I think actually it was a benefit to them when they, there's goes through businesses, through commercial districts. It's nice when it can go through the park. I mean, when it goes through Fasona Park, I mean, what's the width of the trail and what's the width of the park? I mean, there's no fences there. That's the entire park that,
that's
there.
That's true.
And when you're between along the creek, it, you get the whole distance to the creek. And I was going to mention also about human impact on the creek is that these trails actually incur and help the environment in some of these places. The Los Gatos Creek in Campbell was kind of a industrial drainage dump years ago. And then you build these trails on the side. People become aware of the creeks and they take care of them. I saw some sections where before the trail was built, people used to dump oil cans over the back of their fence because it just was a parking lot, a fence, and nobody cared back there. Now the trail is there, it's pristine, and you don't even find, I don't know, anything on the ground.
The water district is very good. If you find that there's stuff in the creek and let them know, they'll come and look at it, you know, because sometimes I've walked there and you can tell that something's been getting into the creek. There's a lot of bubbly and stuff like that. They'll come and look at it to see what could be contaminating the creek. Because I've seen salmon there. By the way, have you seen any recently? I haven't anymore, but we used to see salmon.
I don't know what time they migrate. I think they come up at night when it's raining or something like that when I'm not out there. But I have seen steelhead trout about, I think it was 18 inches long, spawning in the Los Gatos. I think it was about Hamilton Avenue. So they'd swum from the ocean through the bay, up the Guadalupe, up the Los Gatos to there. The water district is working to put in, what do you call them, salmon ladders along some of these creeks and to take care of some of the obstacles along the way.
Good. And there for a while, we'd see some people, but I always would report if I saw somebody fishing there because we were trying to get the, you know, water life back in good health.
So I was going to but just say that even with along the Los Gatos with 500 people, and I mean hundreds of people an hour going up and down the trail on both sides, in the middle the habitat is restored and it's beautiful and it's growing naturally, so it helped there. So people, public access is not a detriment to the trails.
It's not only for cyclists, a lot of people who walk there, and is a real attempt to make that compatible, one respectful of the other, both the cyclists and
you see
walkers.
Bicyclists and joggers and rollerbladers and people.
What about horses? Are horses allowed?
Different. I was going to say, there are different types of trails in the area here, and downtown area, there's less of the horses, but there's equestrian trails. The Coyote Creek Trail has a parallel trail to the bike trail that is for equestrians that goes quite a ways down there. There are trails in the county parks, too. Almond and Quicksilver Park has an extensive network of equestrian trails. There are different types of trails. There's these urban trails, and there's trails out in the countryside are more rural. I mean, you talk about the width of the trail. It's 12 feet wide is a good width downtown, but out in the hills, you have a footpath that's maybe only a foot wide. You have trails that are good for the novice, you know, just beginning to learn how to bicycle. There's trails that are better for experienced people to go long distances. And just the variety that you can get just biking along here. You can start in El Viso, where it is flatlands and just grasses, and just in a half an hour, you're up to downtown San Jose with the urban environment. You go another
half hour. If you're on a bicycle. I plan to walk.
Okay.
Yeah, then I think that's 7 miles or so. Yeah.
Then it takes a little longer, yes. But in a little while longer, you can be up in the foothills of Los Gatos, and then where it's rolling hills, and totally different from El Viso, and totally different from downtown. And you climb a little bit further more, and you're up in the redwoods, where it's the rainforest.
You know, this brings up something that I imagine that some people are concerned about, maybe senior citizens, and that is, what about any kind of first aid or emergency contact facilities along the trail? Are there any? Say someone gets injured or something, doesn't have a cell phone on them or something. I mean,
actually,
I know practically everybody these days has a cell phone, but
when I go jogging, I don't carry mine. But there are call stations on these trails, on some of them anyhow. Just just like the call stations on the freeways. There's call stations on the on the creek trails.
Oh, well, that's very reassuring and very practical too, I imagine.
And also, other people would be, I'm sure, would stop to help. People are very supportive on the trails.
Well, I am thinking that I should once again say that this is KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM. My name is Don Cormier, and the guest I'm interviewing is Larry Ames. I do want to apologize to our listeners once again because we've been having some technical difficulties with our phones. If you do call, we will try to take your call off the air and then relay your question or comment to our guest, which is a little bit of an inefficient way to do things, but better than nothing, right? So, anyway, I'm thinking that I really should get a bicycle. I haven't had a bicycle for several years because I just have not had space. I'm a person that lives in a... I actually share an apartment, and I sleep on the couch in someone's living room, and there's just... No space for a bicycle. I thought about it.
They're very small. They're a lot smaller than a car.
Well, that's true. But I have to park on the street. Well, anyway, be that as it may. What would you say are like the... give me a rough idea of the number of people that are involved in some of these groups that you mentioned. How many people... ballpark figure, or maybe as a percentage of the population in general?
Oh, there are half dozen or a dozen people involved with each of the trails. County Parks is a large organization. City Parks Department works on theirs. There's a city trails coordinator, a city bicycle coordinator. Different cities have planning departments. There's Campbell, Los Gatos, all the Mountain View, Sunnyvale, they all have Parks Department, so there's a good group of people. Plus, there's just asked how to get involved. Also, I forgot to mention there's neighborhood associations. You can get involved with your local neighborhood association, and people at these groups also work to get the trails built. It's kind of a grassroots organization.
Well, it really was an asset that was overlooked, and when you think about how nice... If a person hasn't been on the trail, either as a cyclist or a walker, I'm a walker, and there has been, for many of us who walk, we feel there's a little too much emphasis on the bicycles without attention to the walking. So we have to always remind people, hey, we've got to share this together.
Of course.
But it's... you really realize what an asset it is, because it does... But we've brought... There for a while, there were no salmon coming up at all, and so they try and make sure that the water, that there's some shrubbery around there so the water doesn't get too hot, so that the salmon continue to come up. There are a lot of things we've done. And as you said, walking along the Coyote Creek, you really feel like you're far from everything. You're just out in what used to be the Valley of Heart's Delight. When you go on that trail, that's where you're at. It's really a neat place to go. And I would... I'd like to point out
that anybody can use the trails. You don't have to be a membership in a club or anything like that.
It doesn't cost you anything.
You don't need equipment. You can just go with the shoes and your feet and a shirt.
Take a little... I always say water, because they do have fountains along someplace, but not probably enough. But take water and a snack. When we try to get our children to learn how to hike and do this sort of thing, get them to go up the hill a little further, we'd always have what we called a cookie break. Well, I think adults need cookie breaks too. And so it's really fun. And I have a friend that's coming this... hopefully I'll hear from her today. But I really want to walk to Alviso. And I think that's not... it's got just the trail. It isn't a hard surface like it is most of the creek up to
and
us.
And through downtown San Jose, it is a quite enjoyable walk. You're going down through all these buildings. You get down to the creek and see the green down there, and it some nice steps up and around, and it's a good walking path. Not so good for bicyclists because there are too many steps, but it's...
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that, you have in some of the areas closer to town, and that's an unfortunate situation with our economy as it is that there are some people who live down by the creek. The city tries to... that's a real problem.
There are homeless encampments under railroad bridges in different places and along creeks in a lot of places. I think there's less along the trails. The homeless people don't like to have joggers jogging through their living room at 5 in the morning, so the homeless people go places other than where the trails are a lot.
I've been in the Guadalupe Gardens area, and you'll see people there, but that's because it's got more space and not quite as heavily traveled, and that's a beautiful place too. I really recommend people to go there, and you're very, very close to Market Center, so you can go and have a snack, lunch there, and walk around and walk all the way to the airport.
Well, you mentioned I'm going to mess up his name, Pierre
Luigi.
And I was wondering if there are any other local politicians, particularly at the county level, who are involved in this and who are assisting.
Ken Yeager was...
Yeah, Ken Yeager. I've been talking to George Shirakawa. Blanca Alvarado, who just left office, was very supportive. Jim Bell in the State Assembly is quite supportive. Let's see, I'm going to leave out names if I'm not careful. I've talked to Madison Nguyen in District 7. We're going to meet with their neighborhood association next month to work on this Three Creeks Trail. I know that I should have written down all the different names, but there are so many different names, I don't want to leave somebody out. There's Kurt Kesey, I know, supportive.
Oh, yeah.
Mayor
I think
is supportive.
Most of them are. Because it is a real asset. It's almost free.
But that brings up the point, is that it does cost money for these trails, and ends up being the issue for the things. And so one thing is that it is a lot less expensive for a trail than for other types. I mean, less expensive to build a trail than it is to build a road, for sure.
Exactly.
And you still get people. You can use it as transportation as well as for recreation, so it serves two purposes. Such a long distance, so you get more of an experience with acre for acre. If you're to build 5 acre of a square park, it's nice, but it's just there. You get the same 5 acres spread out in a trail. It goes for many miles. It's not all just local money. There's grants from the federal government and the state government for this stuff. And maintenance, neighborhoods volunteer to maintain the sections in their own area too, so the cost, how many people go off and maintain the street out in front here, but do maintain the trails.
One of the things we've left out is the actual, and we've had here a guest, and that's from the Water District, Richard
Santos.
Yes,
they have been really supportive because they used to put cement on the sides of the creek or bury them, and they've cooperated.
They've changed their plans in the last 20 years. I've noticed it.
Big change. And the other thing, as I said, if you call the Water District and you see that somebody might be trying to sneak in and dump stuff into, some of the... by the areas, they'll come and make sure that that's cleaned up.
Yeah, 25 years ago, the Water District solution
to it.
But I'm saying their solution. They had a mandate of handle floods and provide water, and those were their only two things
were
supposed to do.
Yes,
and
yeah.
They had to go for the cheapest solution, which was the concrete channels. But working with them over the years, they've become more environmentally sensitive, and they actually changed their mandate by voters a couple years ago to be. Provide water, flood control, and be stewards of their environment.
And that's really happening in Alviso.
And so as part of that now, they actually, Water District is funding trails and working to get these things done.
Well, it's wonderful to hear such good news. And I want to remind our listeners that this is KKUP 91.5 FM. Our guest on Free and Clear this morning is Larry Ames, and we're talking about nature trails and bicycle trails and related things here. I'm sorry that we're not going to be able to take your calls on the air this morning. We're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty. If you do want to call in, we'll do our best to take your question or comment off the air and then relay it to our guest. Larry, how did you get involved? And so, or are you just a person who's always been an avid cyclist?
How did I start bicycling?
Yeah, well, I mean, not start bicycling.
I was a little kid, I had trainer wheels.
Okay. So you were one of the people that didn't give it up circa age 19 or 20.
Didn't have a car in high school, so I had to bike to high school. It was about a mile and a half away, so it was too close for the bus and too far to walk, and so bicycle worked for that. In college, a lot of people, in Madison in the 70s, everybody bicycled, so I bicycled too. It was a great way to get around, from get off of campus and get out to the shopping centers and to the parks and to the lakes and to get away. Now, they had the movies on campus, but it's nice to get away from campus too. And so when the snow wasn't too deep, I would go bicycling.
Yolanda, go ahead.
We had a caller and wanted to inquire if, like, around 87, where the trail goes down below the, is there flooding there along the creek trail? I think you might be thinking of bicycling. Is there any problem along the creeks with flooding on the trails?
Okay. There's a trail that goes through the interchange of 87 and 280, and
I think that's what he was talking about.
Yes, and it is fairly close to the water level. I think it is above the height of the flood bypass channels, and so that one generally I don't think does flood. There are some other trails that do flood on occasion, and they just fence them off. The Stevens Creek Trail up in Mountain View goes under Freeway 101, and the freeway was already built, the river was already there, and there was a rather small channel for the trail to get through. And they had to build it fairly close to the water level. When it's a heavy rain, they just fence it off on both sides, and then when the water goes away, they sweep it off and open it up again. The Santa Masakino Creek Trail under 101 also is that way in Santa Clara.
Very interesting. Yes. Well, how did you two happen to meet, anyway? Because, Larry, this is the first time I've ever met you. How did you and Yolanda happen to cross
paths? Well, we've known each other for a long time.
I think it was about the Dearden Station. The arena, wasn't it?
Yeah, years ago.
I've been involved with Willow Glen and the community and trails and parks and downtown.
Willow Glen Neighborhood Association.
Willow Glen Neighborhood Association. I was county park commissioner for 8 years there. I've worked on...
We've known each other for many, many years. We don't see each other that often. We're a little bit more now often because this development is that's being planned has to be done very well. And if it isn't, it'll become a real problem.
Are you talking about the baseball stadium?
Baseball,
or are you talking
stadium,
about the high-speed rail? Or are you talking
all,
about BART?
All,
and
things,
all three of those tie together at the same point, which happens to be very close to,
close
to both of us. It impacts all of us in the area here.
It'll impact the entire city because these things are all extremely expensive. It has to be very well done because we won't be able to do it. And if we don't do it properly, it has... it could really degrade the entire area, and it would be the heart of the city would be really messed up.
Well, if they do build that baseball stadium, I hope that they get a slightly different design than the one that they flashed up on TV, was it yesterday? Because I was thinking, that's ugly. I hope that they, do something a little more imaginative and creative than what they showed.
The problem is people want to do these big things with the least amount of money, and it doesn't mean that you have to spend a lot of money to get something, but I think they really have to think about the design, and that to get a really good design and one that's compatible with all the other things they want to do and keep that creek there, which is, to me, that's a gift from the heavens. The creek, and that should not be And then the other thing that we
so
have...
I was going to give a quick mention also to the city's riparian corridor setback policy.
Which is totally ignored.
No, it's not being ignored entirely. You have to press the developers and the planners on this to remind them about it. The requirement is, I think it's generally a 100-foot setback from the top of the bank.
And adobe structure is not that far from the creek.
They have exceptions for the downtown areas.
Yes.
But in general, before this policy, people would end up putting parking lots right up to the edge of the creek, and they would lose any environment there. Now there's a setback that there's generally more than that, and I'm trying to be positive here. Developments, you can work with them, and if they put in a setback further, thinking of the KB Homes that was built on Ozaray, it used to be a cannery. It was built right up to the edge of the creek, and then when they rebuild it into townhouses. We didn't get the full 100 feet, unfortunately, but we still got, I think, over 50 feet, 80 feet, something like that, most of the way, where they restored a riparian habitat through the area, and we got the trail through the area. This setback gives both the recreational trail connections, and it gives room for the habitat to expand.
And I've got to say, I really want, as a citizen, I really want these things. I've got to thank you, because you've given, I don't know how many hours, to working on the creek trail, and I want to thank you, because that's how I met you long years ago.
Yeah, I say
you were probably at that meeting when I thought, oh, this is never going to happen.
Yeah, I go to all these different meetings and the different trails and different things, and then I say, oh, and then my day job is.
Yeah, right.
In my spare time, I work at my
day job. It seems to me like, from what we've been saying here, it all boils down to involvement of individuals. I mean, we call it community involvement, but what does that mean? That's just an abstract way of saying a lot of people have decided that they want to get involved and help out. So what, again, are some of the groups and some of their websites in case people want to get in touch and start doing something? I assume some of these groups thrive on donations as well.
I think so, yeah. Well, some of them are official. Like, there's the county parks, has the maps of the different counties, and that's at www.parkhere, that's parkhere.org. City of San Jose has a map showing all the trails. That's at sjtrails.org/trails. There's a county bicycle map that they're handing out tomorrow at these different energizer stations as part of this bike to work day. So go stop there. That's the easiest way to get
a
map.
It's a fun thing to do, too.
Even if you're driving, you can stop and talk and say, you want a bicycle and you're planning to bike tomorrow. Can I have a map, please?
I mean, and I think they're even getting somebody that's going to give back massages, so.
And so anyhow, you can go to the VTA.org website, Valley Transportation Authority, and then follow some links. Or you also go to that 511.org, has a link to the county maps. We have some on the Willow Glen Neighborhood Association, WGNA.net has some maps, different of the areas here.
Okay, well, you've certainly given out a lot of information, and I'm just amazed, really, that all these groups exist, because it's, even for someone like me that's somewhat in the public eye, it's so easy to ignore stuff that's going on. I mean, you kind of get into your own little rut, and you know about the few organizations that you're involved with, but you don't really know about everything else. So
I recognize a lot of different groups doing a lot of different things. There's people working on libraries, and people working on fire stations, and people working on health, and I happen to know trails and parks, and so that's why I concentrate on that one. But I appreciate all the other groups out there working on all the different issues.
Yeah, and the satisfaction is getting heard. It takes a lot of work, but
to get something done. I mean, one of my things I do at work is I write proposals, and I can work on a project for a couple of years, and then nothing happens. They decide not to buy it, and you put it in a notebook, and that's the end of it. But work on these trails, and I can come back 10 years later and say, we got that mile of trail there built. That park is there because of the work that we've done. This
This is not going in a notebook someplace. This is actually real.
Well, and you know, one of the things I was talking about, the gift we have of the creeks through the city, and that we have is the water flowed down from the mountains. And when you think of it, I think when the Spaniards came, they had to actually circle what is now San Jose because there was so much water, you know, around here until.
Well, Glen was a big marshland. A number of the places, the streams, they have a map showing historic streams where the streams kind of came down to a marshland and kind of vanished into a big water. Marsh and then reappeared miles later and went on a ways again.
But in addition to that, we have this marvelous climate here. So to be out of doors and to make it pleasant to be out of doors and to be so accessible to, now we have a million people in San Jose. That's just San Jose. It doesn't include Santa Clara.
It's almost 2 million people in the county.
Yeah. So this is a real asset, and I think that...
And it's a wonderful trail network we have here.
It is. And, you know, we're beginning to run out of time. Is there something we haven't asked you or you'd like to talk about that haven't...
I have a question for you. If you know, you don't have something you want to say. I know this is maybe a little bit off topic, but what's your opinion of critical mass, you know, up in San Francisco when everybody one day, you know, gets out there bike riding?
I went out and joined them once. It was an interesting experience. It's great to raise public awareness of it. A few people might have gotten a little crazy, which is sorry to hear about, but in general, I thought it was a great way to experience the city. My wife and I will take the train up to San Francisco and bike around the city up there, and I have noticed some improvements over the years. They have marked bike lanes now. Wish you could do something about the pavement. Some of the streets are pretty bumpy.
Well, that's throughout California. Aren't we the second worst in the whole nation?
There are some streets in San Jose are pretty bad also.
Exactly.
They're kind of bone-jarring to go down. But it does raise awareness, and it's a great way for people to become appreciative of the city, too. For when you get on one of those bike groups and go off and explore the city, you see parts of the city that when you're in a car, you don't see.
Well, actually, I think that's true, even just taking any type of public transportation. At least I've noticed that in San Francisco, that I really notice areas that I wouldn't notice necessarily if I was driving around. And you start to know where the BART stations are and where the Muni stations are and where everything kind of interconnects. It's interesting up there. Also, too, I would say that even though the streets may need a little bit of repair in San Francisco, I have noticed, it's just my impression, the city's gotten cleaner in the last 10, 15 years from what it was. It's subtle, but I notice it. Anyway, well, we've got like 3 minutes left. This has been Free and Clear, and I urge all of you to keep listening because we're going to have a great show coming on next, One from the Heart, which is Jim McMillan's show, and Jim is coming into the studio here, you know, starting to get ready. The opinions you've heard here are those of the speakers only, not necessarily staff or management of KKUP.
I just, did you get to say something that we've left out?
I was going to say... biking is a great way to get around, and I get a better than 100 miles a gallon on my bicycle, and I run on biofuel. Gatorade.
Gatorade.
So I want to say, just go out and explore. Be safe and have fun.
Yeah, our trails are especially safe with that. Very, they do have some security, especially the Los Gatos.
And they're well designed.
Normally, the cyclists are respectful of the walkers.
And the walkers are respectful of the cyclists. And some you call out when you come up behind somebody so they can move their dogs off to the side of the trails.
Fortunately, we haven't had the problems they have on the Golden Gate, which they've now banned the bicycles from riding because they've had serious accidents with pedestrians.
Well, that's new. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was on the news.
But anyhow, I want to end positive and just say it's a wonderful way to the city and see the countryside and appreciate California here, appreciate what we have here.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Yolanda, I can't tell which are your headphones.
The small ones.
The small ones.
Not that one.
That's okay.
Mine's right here.
Oh, okay. So don't lose that. And I think
well,
this was your.
Disconnected, I think.
Yes, that's why. Okay, I think Jim is just about ready to get his music going. Am I right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I'm right. Okay. Well, it's 7:59. I guess it's not really. Oh yes, Yolanda. What?
I wanted to thank Larry.
Yes,
for coming
thank
on,
you. Thank
he has
you.
To get up early.
Go to
it's
work.
It's been a pleasure. Yes.
Okay. It's 8:00. This is KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM. Stay tuned to What from the Heart.